Okay, tonight's shiur is by your request. Several weeks ago I had a Shabbos where I met with many of the young fellows in the shul, and we had two different sessions with different grades, and we spoke about the issue of ball playing in Shabbos, and I suggested certain guidelines. And then I gave a shiur in shul between Minch and Marav. We went through the sources, and tonight's shiur will very much be a shiur. We'll discuss afterward, however you want, in terms of correct ramifications. But at first, it'll be very much a shiur to see the sources and defend from the purest perspective. Of course, our concern with ball playing in Shabbos is a sort of a dual concern. One is we're concerned with to understand the halacha very well. On the other hand, we're also concerned with the atmosphere of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Shabbos, which is also a halakhic concern, and we'll see how that comes to play. In halakha, the shiur is also an interesting shiur because we'll see certain ideas that come up in the achronim. So it's an interesting shiur in and of itself. But when the issue of ball playing is raised in halakha, it's first raised as an issue of muktzah, which doesn't really come out to the halacha l'masa, because our balls are probably not muktzah. In the time of the Rishonim, they didn't have brand name balls that were blown up with pumps, and they didn't have also different stitched balls, and they took little stones, and if they were fairly round, that was pretty good. There was a piece of wood they found, and that was round. So those are the balls that they were playing in the time of the Rishonim. And that's why in the very first source, the issue that is at hand is the issue of muktzah. So the Mechamer writes, "Osur leschok b'Shabbos v'yomtif b'kadur." It's also to play in Shabbos with a ball. The Ramadan says, "V'yesh matirim." Right? The Yisus Kara, the Mechamer says that it's osur. The Ramadan writes, "This would be the practice of asking v'yesh matirim b'Ashkenaz," and there are some who permit it. The Nogu l'Hakel, and he quotes the Tosfos that we will see later on that says that. And the practice was to be mako, to be lenient. I note right after this a comment that later svarim, the Taz and the Mogen Avraham, but these are primary commentators in Shulchan Aruch, they went against the Ramah and sided with the Shulchan Aruch. So in terms of if we would be discussing the issue of muktzah, so we would probably follow the stricter position, because even though the Ramah said that we can be lenient, but once the Taz and the Magen Avraham sort of gang up on the Ramah, we would probably follow the Taz and the Magen Avraham. That's probably the way the halacha would evolve. Now, where does this? How do I know it's an issue of muktzah? Because if we look at the source base, that's the base Yosef, right? The base Yosef is the Yosef Kara's first very, very lengthy treatment before he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Is really a digest of the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote a sefer which is such an impressive sefer. The Beis Yosef is a sefer that records every halacha l'masa discussion, right? Every discussion is a practical import in Gemara, and quotes every Rashi, every Tosfos, and usually other relevant Rishonim. And just the expanse and the amount of work that went into that sefer, that in itself is unbelievable. And then, after he wrote a parallel digest, which became our Shulchan Aruch, right? Probably one of the reasons why the Shulchan Aruch became the binding code for Klal Yisrael is because it was a sefer that had these two, this balance, that it had the digest, direct, and practical, and you could easily go back to figure where he's coming from. So the Beis Yosef writes, Kosav, he writes in the Ogur, one of the late Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Shem Shiboli Halekit, that's safe we have, I quoted later on, She'asur l'schok b'Shabbos v'yomtiv v'kadurim, She'einar mu'uyim l'tzura p'tzluchis. Because the reason you can't play with balls on Shabbos and yomtiv is because they are valueless. You can't do anything with these balls. You could not, in the Gemara, when something was totally worthless, you couldn't even use it as a bottle stopper. That means it's useless. A piece of paper you could roll up and make into a bottle. But you wouldn't use these balls for a bottle stopper. Why? The Nemoa say, because they are disgusting. Shemitanfri, they tit vapor because they can kick around in the dirt. And you would never dream of putting it on top of a bottle. The Chayim Kadur Shalait, you have a wooden ball. Also, the Talmud with Tzchok, but you cannot move it on Shabbos. That was the, that's the Ogur and the Shibboleth Leket. Avala Tosfos. But Tosfos makes a comment in Gemara Beyam, and it's commented in a different topic that we will look at momentarily. So let's just skip this line. And he says, the Ashkechan, the Nesachakin Bikadur Shekorin Piluta. That was the game. Right? That was their soccer, and their football was Piluta. Piluta. So they used to play this game called Piluta. And they would play it on Yom Tov. And they would play it on Yom Tov, and it was just around in the public area. Afal gav deleka elotiyul. We'll explain this in a moment. Ad kan mashma shemutul tafel akadu yomtiv within the Shabbos. So if Tosfos records that the practice was to play this game, so that means they were not bothered by the issue of muktzah. Right? Why should that be? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that when we have something which is entirely useless and we call it muktzah machmas gufoy, so there are different opinions as to whether something which is entirely useless can be designated for use in Shabbos and therefore made into a non-muktzah item. Can something which is muktzah in and of itself, can I set aside a stone and say, this is my nutcracker, I'm going to use this stone, and I will only use it for a nutcracker the entire week? So the Shulchan Aruch has the question of whether does that work or not. In other words, I haven't done anything to it, I haven't attaching it, I haven't painted it, I've done nothing to it. So just by designate alone, fix that one second.
That
Shulchan Aruch says is taking it seemingly the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation is that the Shulchan Aruch is taking the position that something which is useless cannot be set aside and made usable for Shabbos, and the Ramah seems to be taking the position that you can by designation alone that can make it non-muktzah, and that's the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation of the Machlokes. All right. Now, that's not the, we will look later on, that the Vilna Gaon is an entirely different interpretation of the Machlokes, which will be much more relevant for us. Why is this not so relevant? Because our balls nowadays are not muktzah. We pay a lot of money for some of them, certainly pay a certain amount of money for them. They're made specially, initially, from another kid. They're not playing with stones or with rocks or with, playing with the, maybe not expensive, there's certainly things of substance, we pay for them. So that's what the fortune point out, the post can point out, that nowadays the balls that our kids play with, they're not useless, and they don't get so filthy. You know, most of our areas are paved, and if they're not paved, they often take good care of them. So this is really a non-issue for us, and I think that the question was posed from Yoshev. There's a post in Lakewood of Simcha Bunim Kohen, who's written numerous Sarim. So he quotes at the end that when the question was raised by Yashiv, is this relevant to us? He said, no, not relevant to us. Our balls are not muktzah. That's a non-issue. Let's move over to Gimel. Right? Gimel really takes us to a different context entirely. And that's the issue of Yom Tov. Whether, let's look at it again, in Gimel, according also Ramah, Umutu l'schot b'kadur afilu b'shusir rabim. Avagav she'ena ela tiyul ba'olma. Right. But here's the question, and we're switching it, a different scenario. This is a Yom Tov question. This is the question, can you play ball in Shusha Rabbim? It's carrying. Right? There's no Erev. So it should be Yosef. So in Shabbos it should be Yosef. There's no Erev. There's no question you can't play ball. It would not be an issue for discussion at all. Kicking a ball, moving a ball is a violation of a Tov. How about on Yom Tov? On Yom Tov you're allowed to carry without an Erev. Halach is that you're allowed to carry if it's for some purpose. And they cannot carry for no purpose at all. That's the. It's very hard to find purposeless carry. But for example, there's a discussion one cannot, and Shabbos the other one cannot move things for no purpose at all. So again, what would be an example of that? There's an interesting discussion amongst the Svarim whether a person has a nervous habit of moving his silverware around. So some say that would be awesome because there's no hesitation to move things unnecessarily. Others say no. If a person is nervous and this gives him something to keep himself occupied, that's also a purpose. So it's very hard to find purposeless things. So we, Baruch Hashem, we very, very rarely engage in things that can't find any value at all. So can a person play ball on Yom Tov? Is kicking the ball a significant enough purpose? That's the lines that I skipped in the Beis Yosef. That was referring to those lines. Let's go back to the lines that we skipped. And there it says, Avalatosis. Terakama de Beya, Ahodin Nan de Bey Shamai Omer E Motzina Sakotim Los Alula Vlosa Sefer Torah Vishusarabin, Ubey Silomati. And there's a discussion whether one can carry non-food items. On Yom Tov, we certainly can do things that are for the sake of eating. What about things that are not for the sake of eating on Yom Tov? Are they allowed or not? Bey Shamai says no. He can't carry a child out on Yom Tov. He can't carry a lulav out on Yom Tov. Can't carry a Sefer Torah out on Yom Tov, even with Torah Mitzvah. And Beis Hillel says, mutter. Why? Because we have a rule that just like caring for the sake of food is mutter, so caring even for not for the sake of food is called the rule of mitoch. Mitoch shehutra etza l'tzer chachal nefesh, hutra shehutra l'tzer chachal nefesh, but it has to have some purpose. It can't be totally purposeless. Alright, so the Tosfos wants to give an example of something which is not as significant as eating, but significant enough that it's considered to be purposeful on Yom Tov. So, what's the example that he gives? Kigoyim, lav davka, taking out a child, Tosfos says, lav davka kotin lo mulo. Doesn't mean you're taking a child for a bris mila. Who was in shalom with the shari? Gam til, you have to get a child for a walk. That's significant enough that on Yom Tov, you want to carry a child, but on Yom Tov, mutter. Right? We're only allowed to carry, a person could not move a stone around on Yom Tov. That's purposeless. But a person can move, can carry a child out. If one just wants to take the child for its yule, you want to carry the child on your shoulder, mutter. And that's where Tosfos says, are you allowed to play ball on Yom Tov? In other words, is kicking the ball around purposeful enough? Right? So is playing a significant purpose. So Tosfos says, Zuhu Adain, I'm still back in the Beis Yosef, Shelo lamu d'shari gam tiyo. What's the proof that just a little spatzir that's considered to be a significant enough form of pleasure in Yom Tov that one can do that in Yom Tov? Tashkechon de nisachni b'kadosh shekar in piluto. After the Bishus Rabbi used to play ball. All right. So that's the Tosfos says playing ball is valuable enough that one's allowed to do it on Yom Tov even when there's no Erev. Now let's go back to the Oz Gimel. It's a very interesting discussion. Interesting for, historical, sociological purposes. Mishnah Berurah then writes, I'm looking at Oz Gimel, and five lines down in the square brackets of Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Tes. The Mishnah Berurah's comment on this halacha, that there are more quotes, that an Yom Tov was allowed to play ball even when there's no Erev. Mutter lohotzi duhu bechlau. Tiyol, it's part of the idea of taking a shvatzir. Pistimchas Yom Tov. And that's gives pleasure in Yom Tov. One of the younger contemporaries of the Ramah was the Maharshal, Avshalom Aluria. Avshalom Aluria is a powerful intellect, and he would take on the Ramah. He was also known to sometimes take on Rishonim. Maharshal is often called the Rabbeinu Tam of the Achron. Rabbeinu Tam sometimes would argue with the generation before, with Gaon, and sometimes even with Amaram. And the Maharshal was such a powerful intellect and such a sharp thinker that he would sometimes take on Rishon. The Maharshal and the Ramah have this respectful but very, very biting correspondence with each other. And over here, the Mishnah Berurah now quotes the Maharshal by saying, the Dover Temu, he doesn't understand this. It's an unbelievable thing. Lahat tirzeh to permit playing ball. So the Maharshal is not arguing with the Ramah, He's arguing with the Tosfos. Tosfos says they can play ball in Yom Tov because it's like a tiyog. Says the Mashal doesn't make any sense at all. The ein v'tzorach hayom klal, because playing ball is purposeless. Elaschok shel yiladim, it's a child's thing. Hanachlem, if children are playing, I let them do it. Aval l'gdolam, but over the age of bar mitzvah. Shenogim kein min hagra, it's a bad thing to do. The ein the simcha v'tiyul elaschichas yiladim v'kalos rosh. And he said, even if this is not an issue, but there are other the position that the Mechaber took, that this is the remote, that it's not muktzah, that's not clear as he indicated before. But you see all this discussion, it's a discussion about sports, right? That the remote Tosfos it's a form of Onik Shabbos, form of Yom Tov. And the Marshal sees it as something of no significance at all. And that should be consistent with the idea of whether a ball can not be muktzah. According to the Marshal would say he designated the ball to be muktzah, to be a ball for playing. He hasn't made it any more purposeful by doing that. It was a rock before. It's still a rock. So people are playing with it. So it's a sichas yilah. That's worthless. The Ramah sees that playing ball has a certain enjoyment to it, and therefore designating a ball for playing would be giving it some kind of purpose, and that would be, and therefore he sees it as something of a value. Now, again, in our society, we see playing ball of having very significant value. We see it having value of the exercise and athletics, and we see the value of team playing and kids doing it together. So we see certainly a value, certainly in youngsters, in terms of adults, and it depends on the value of the exercise aspect of it, and how it fits into the more general schedule, whether it provides a positive form of leisure and a necessary form of leisure. So that's how we would view it. But we would certainly, in our thinking, there is a place for sports, and we would probably follow the Ramon's perspective of Natosa, that there's certainly some kind of a simcha, or not simcha, but oneg that, so when it comes to Tzah and Yom Tov, we would also be lenient, we'd also probably be lenient. Now, in Halacha there's a third issue which is raised, which is also doesn't really affect us that much, and that's the concern of Ashvuye Gumos. Halacha is that you can't do anything that would flatten out a surface. That's why when the poskim discuss playing ball, so we consider basketball. But the poskim do not consider that it in any way be permissible to play soccer. Right? To have any kind of kickball on an unpaved surface, so that the recent poskim clearly are against that. Because soccer, you end up kicking so close to the ground, it's so possible that one could end up kicking up dirt and creating holes or smoothing out mounds. So soccer and unpaved we would not permit, and basketball we would probably permit because it's not so likely that one's going to kick up dirt any more than running around, and so basketball would also not be a violation of a Shvuyei Gumos. And here also, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has quoted it in the Sefer by Simcha Bunim Kohn, that nowadays, since most of the time when kids play, they play on paved surfaces, and most of our areas that we live in are, or most of our playing surfaces are paved. So even though there was a time when we used to make a gzeira, we used to say that people cannot play even on paved surfaces, for example, sweeping. There used to be a din that one cannot sweep on Shabbos, because most floors were dirt floors. So sweeping necessarily moved things around and would create a flatter surface. That would be a form of bona on Shabbos, having a better surface. So the question was, but my house is paved? No. Since most homes in the neighborhood have dirt floors, so with an overall, there were no sweeping in Shabbos. Couldn't sweep in Shabbos. And then the poskim said, but once most homes became paved, almost, and all homes became paved, so then we dropped the Easter of sweeping and we are allowed to sweep in Shabbos. So when it comes to playing ball, Shlomo Zalman made the same comment. We follow the same rule. that as long as one is playing on a paved surface, so the fact that they could conceivably play on an unpaved surface, that would not, we wouldn't ask them. So again, we would permit kicking a ball around on a paved surface. We would not permit kicking a ball around on an unpaved surface. That's fairly clear.
What about raising and lowering?
We'll get back to the detail later on, but please mention that. So then, again, from the first perspective of Mutter, from the perspective of Tzah, say Mutter, perspective of a Shvuye Gumos, again, if it's not a sport which necessarily involves a lot of the foot movement, so then we would also be making on that. Now the next issue is an oshei. What about running in Shabbos? Is a person allowed to run on Shabbos? So Shulchan Aruch writes an oshei, simin shin aleph sif aleph, ein lerutz b'Shabbos elo mekinul bar mitzvah. He going le beis haknesses okay yotze b'zeh. Was only allowed to run on Shabbos if it's for a mitzvah, if it's for going to shul. Right? What's the basis for this? We have a din. It's based on Yeshaya, Perek, Menches. Yeshaya Novi says, we're all familiar with the Sukkim, Shabbos has got to be a different kind of a day, right? That, im, tashiv, mishavos, maglecha, right, asos, chasachov, and haber, davor, Shabbos has to be, you have to speak differently in Shabbos, you have to speak in more calm terms of Shabbos, speak barba divrei Torah, speak not at all about business, that's the davar davar. We have to, on Shabbos, we read differently the things that we read during the rest of the week. On Shabbos, we are supposed to walk differently. The rest of the week, we can be in a rush, we can be running. On Shabbos, it should be a more calmer pace. The person has to go to shul, the person might be late for shul. So when runs to shul, that's most to any dvar mitzvah. So then the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Beis, v'achorim ha-mis-angim, v'kvitzosom, children. Oh, they enjoy jumping around. Umbar mutsosim and literally running, jumping and running. Mutter, v'chein leros, koldovish, his angim voice is there. They get pleasure out of it. They get pleasure of jumping around. So that's part of their running Shabbos. Right? So, from the perspective of running and jumping, so we would say, it should be osir, it's the shalot tehi luchach, the Shabbos ki luchach b'chol. We should be walking differently. So maybe we should be mechanech children. So we should be mechanech children to walk differently on Shabbos, to walk a little bit calmer way on Shabbos. But Shulchan Aruch says, if by jumping and running, that they get owning, they get pleasure, so then that's mutter on Shabbos. That's the part of their owning Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah discusses over here, Aval oser lorut kedeshes chaneim lirafua. Came in the mucha milsa. This is an important point for adults. Is a person allowed to jog on Shabbos if it is in order to get heated up, I guess to exercise? That's lirafua. So that is also Shabbos. Came in the mucha milsa. The also shemshika samamonim. The yesh machmer afilu b'tiyul in kavanosu l'samel lirafua. This is an important point. Halacha l'masa. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that we know that halacha can't do acts of rafua on Shabbos. That means we can't do anything that's therapeutic for any kind of illness you can't do on Shabbos. Obviously, that is, we're not talking about a person who is in any way at all, remotely involved in a life-threatening situation. Then we can do everything to that person. And we're not even talking about a person who is what we call a chola. A chola on Shabbos means a person who's bedridden on Shabbos, a person not fully functional on Shabbos, then they be allowed to do anything for them which is not a violation of a malacha. A person takes medicine in Shabbos. Medicine is not a violation of halacha. So a person feels so terrible they have to lie down, they have like this fluey feeling, a full body feeling, allowed to take medicine in Shabbos, right? Allowed to even ask a goy to get the medicine in Shabbos. But we have the third category of person. The third category is a bori yemechus v'alma. A person's healthy, but something's bothering them. A person's healthy, but they have a headache. It's not a debilitating headache they have to lie down. It would be a Tuesday, they would be fully functional with a headache. Person has a toothache, but if the kind of toothache, it's not indicative of an abscess. If it's a Tuesday, fully functioning. So then on Shabbos, we have more machmir. On Shabbos, one cannot take medicine. Why? Because medicines often have to be ground down. In the time of the Gemara, they were always ground down. Nowadays, medicines also get ground down sometimes. We often split pills. We often, maybe in our little culture, we don't grind medications, but there are many people still grind medications. Remember that Rav Waldenberg was asked many, many years ago whether, he says, we still have to keep this in. People no longer grind. He says, what are you talking about? You haven't walked in the little streets of Yerushalayim, the Siftot of Yerushalayim, and people are still taking herbs, and they're still grinding it. And other yomim that people are still grinding it. So the halacha is still, according to most poskim, intact, that if a person is healthy and feels good, but is taking some medication, and that medication, again, is in a situation where they're fully functioning, so then we say you cannot take that medication. That's awesome. Person can't sleep, then we say they're not fully functioning, because that means they can't sleep, that means they're not bedridden right now, but they'll be bedridden tomorrow when they haven't slept. So therefore we say you can take the medication now because this is a situation of being bedridden. Right? So that we permit. But then we're more machmir, because Klal Yisrael was always known, the Gemara, Chazal knew the Klal Yisrael, we get very nervous about health, for good reasons, and we get worked up about it, and Chazal were afraid that a person has some kind of pain, so then they're going to get worked up about it, and they're going to end up making some concoction and grinding nerves, and that's the Easter. So that Easter is in place. So says the, and that refers to any kind of therapy, any kind of, let's say physical therapy, occupational therapy, it has to be that would come under the Easter of the Easter of Refuah. So a person who's exercising is also under the category of Refuah, a person exercising for health. It's not because of any debilitating issue. A person has a debilitating issue and they have to exercise. Let's say sometimes right after some kind of traumatic situation, a person needs ongoing therapy every day. And without that, they could end up slipping in terms of their progress. So then we would consider allowing that in Shabbos as well. But a person who is exercising as part of an ongoing regimen, so that one cannot do Kaman the Lukha Milsa, because it's very clear. So a person who is jogging in Shabbos, a person who is speed walking in Shabbos, a person certainly who has jogging suits on to speed walk in Shabbos, so it's Kaman the Lukha Milsa. So then it's very clear that it's being done not because of taking a leisurely pay. A person takes a tiyul at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's not for a leisurely stroll. That's part of an exercise regimen that the Mishnah Berurah writes. That's also because of Refuah. And the Yesh Machmir Filu B'Tiyo, even a walk, if the intent of the walk is L'Refuah, then even a Tiyo, the idea of a Tiyo is to enjoy it, one enjoys taking a walk, one enjoys the Shvatzir, so then entirely Mutter on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So coming back to our issue right now, so our issue we would say, it's not even a violation of Oneg, of Shalot Tehei Hiluchach B'Shabbos Kiluchach B'Chol, because that's the Oneg of these little kids. Again, for an adult, entirely different situation. Right? So now, let's bring one very pretty comment of Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yerodei Chelek Gimel. Then somebody asked him, I'm playing chess on Shabbos. Right? Umischak hashach b'Shabbos. Me'etzem adin ein leser. From a purist perspective, one cannot take osir. Im nenen mizeh, one enjoys it. Aval vaday yoser ruhi shelo l'sachek b'zeh mitzad v'daber dover. But it's better that one should not play from the perspective of daber dover. Daber dover is the phrase shelo yehei, that your activities in Shabbos should be different than activities of chol. And then he writes, the gam, in addition, lis omim ha-menutzach, the one who is defeated. But it's interesting that in the Hebrew language, I'm not sure it's correct, if it's correct, in Rav Moshe's terms, certainly there's no loser, there's no word for loser. There's the one who won, and the one who didn't win, right? So there's menatzeach and the menutzach, the one who won, the one who, somebody else beat him out. Right, the gamam in Nitzach, the one we'd call the one who lost the game, Nitzair is aggravated. Most also Medina, and we say v'daver. Then it's also Medin. As if a person knows that if he's going to lose the game, it'll upset him, then he can't play. Right? Then he can't play because it's 50-50. Even if he's a big ball guy who thinks he wins every single game, but I don't think you take that kind. He has to really know that he's going to win the game. What's the line in the middle that Rav Moshe writes? But it's better not to do it because of davar davar. We just said that if a person enjoys it, he enjoys it. So enjoyment is not a violation of davar davar. So why did Rav Moshe write, Avovada yose ro'oi shelo lesachek b'zeh mitzvah v'davar davar? No, any suggestions? And however Moshe can say, it's mutter, as long as you enjoy it, but it would, certainly would be better if one wouldn't do it from the perspective of davar davar. What do you think?
Who's that? The people were playing like not just a friendly game.
Yeah.
But more of a elite, people who are competitive.
I think I'm not sure that is indicated over here. The question I think was just a regular chess game. I think. I don't think it was in the context of a competitive or a competitive. I don't think so.
Is it more in reference to the spirit of
Shabbos? So it probably is, but how? But what's he pointing out? Vada yoseh roi shalolos, because of davar davar. It is in the category of the spirit of Shabbos, the spirit of Shabbos that is mandated by halacha, right? Not as a go ahead. So it's fine. I think that's what he means. He probably means it's mutter, right? But a person's enjoyment should come from something else, certainly in Shabbos. I think that's what he means. It's mutter. If a person enjoys playing chess, mutter. But it would be better if it would be a violation of davar davar. It'd be better. This wouldn't be the way that a person gets his tainug. It would be better if it would be something along the line. Again, from the perspective of, and we'll come back to this point in a moment when we see one more source. So again, from so far, as the language of the Shmir Shabbos Lilus is Ein Le'esor. We can't say that playing ball is awesome, right? You can try very hard. We can try with Mukta. We can try with Haitzah. We can try Shvi Yigumos. Yiluchos Machol. And that's the bottom line. That's what the Rebbe writes. Ein Lesa. Right? Why doesn't Rebbe Novit write Mutter? Why is that tepid language? Ein Lesa. That's really the issue that is on that should be on our minds. And that is, I've skipped a few lines consistently. Let's go back to Os Beis. So this is really the heart of the issue for us. Go back to Os Beis, the last three lines. Umiyu b'Yerushalmi. However, right? What's the however? Rabbi Yosef Taro wrote, it's not a problem that it's not a problem of Muksa. Some said it's a problem of Muksa because these balls are useless and they get dirty. However, Tosus records they used to play ball in Yom Tov. Umiyu b'Yerushalmi. However, in Yerushalmi, Perek Basra the Tainus, in the last parak of Tainus, Motsosi I found the following. Tur Shimon, of the place, I don't know where the place is. Some text say it was Beta. Some say it was, again, some hill called Tur Shimon. Loma Chorav. Why was Tur Shimon, why was Beta destroyed? Yesh Avrim, some said, that Nei has Nos, because they had prostitutes there. Yesh Avrim, Shayu Mesachakin Bekadur, because he used to play ball. So you see these little letters, and these letters say, they play ball on Shabbos. Right. Now, if you look at the Shimboli Aleket, which is the source of this discussion, so also I've underlined, he begins by saying, again, this is a late Ashkenazi Rishon, they're not considered to be tools, and he says, because you're going to play with it, insignificant, like the Marshal says, playing is, it's a game, it's significant enough. Then he says, Nirisha also l'sachek b'l'talpul b'shabbat, I think it's mukta, because there's no purpose to it, to moving it. And then he says, u'motzinu b'medrash eicha, and the medrash eicha says, the next underline, tur shimon ave mapik tos meya garbin demarkoa b'chol erev Shabbos. Le'ilan Kaita, this place Tur Shimon, this place Beit HaAvot, was a place that was known for its tzedakah. They would open up 300 barrels of food every Erev Shabbos. They took care of the poor every Erev Shabbos. The Lama Chorev, Why was it destroyed? In Teima Mishum Znus. Some said because prostitutes, because there was decadence. And the last line, Merav Huna, Aliday Sheyimusachim Echadim, they played Baal and Shabbos. This raises a big question between the Vilna Gaon on one hand, and we'll see in a moment of Avraham Chaim Noh. And the Forshim say this is incredible, right? Literally incredible. Kadosh Baruch Hu would destroy an entire town. We said mutter, right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu would destroy, and it's even more incredible is that the discussion was it decadence or was it playing Baal and Shabbos? I mean, there's a world between Znus and playing Baal and Shabbos, right? So how could that be in the same line that these could be two possible reasons for destroying an entire town? The truth is, that's where the Vilna Gaon comes to the conclusion that Tur Shimon was a place with Rishus HaRabim. It didn't have an Eruv, and they were in violation of Mechal Shabbos Eiraisa. Right? So again, according to the Vilna Gaon, we basically at the end of this year, and the Vilna Gaon said, you can't bring a proof from Tur Shimon because there was a, it's saying either because of decadence or Chil Shabbos, public Chil Shabbos, right? So it can be very, very big Balei Tzedakah, but public Chil Shabbos, that can do in a town. That's a Kfir and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's also very interesting is that this yields an entirely different take on the very first source that we learned. The very first source was, the Mechaber writes, also L'Shchok B'Shabbos, he can't play Balei Shabbos. And the Ramos says, Samar Mekel. Right. So, strictly speaking, the Vilna Gaon would probably say, he doesn't fall top, but I believe he would probably say, why is it also? Not because of Muktzah, not what the Mishnah Berurah said. Also because we have a record that an entire town was eradicated because of it. And that's if you read the Beis Yosef, it reads very well. He starts by saying, I think it's Muktzah. Tosfos says it's not Muktzah, Umiyu, but Yerushalmi says an entire town was destroyed, so we're going to say it's also, I'm not going to take any chances. And the Ramos probably said with the Vilna Gaon said, no, they were destroyed because they the Chil Shabbos, there was no Eruv there. But if there's an Eruv, he can't say that it's also. Right? However, this Gemara, that Tur Shimon was destroyed because of playing in Shabbos, then really opens up the discussion, which is what we're discussing, and that's on the next side. Next side is a passage from Avraham Chaim Noah. Avraham Chaim Noah was one of the great Rabbanim of Yerushalayim. And he has a sefer in Hilchos Shabbos. He has a sefer on parts of Aruch Chaim. In the footnotes are called Bari HaShulchan. So he talks about this Gemara. Let's look at this together. I circled the word Vihinei. Vihinei HaBeis Yosef Mevi Yerushalmi. Tur Shimon, Loma Chorev, Yeshem Meneiz. No, some say because of decadence. Yeshem Mishom Vishachim Leflei Baal. And that's what it says in Medrash Eicha also. Sasha Beis and Rav Huna, Mishum Shemesachim Bekadu Bishabbos. They played Baal and Shabbos. Well, the Das Hamatirin Schok Hakadu Bishabbos Serach Leimar. And if those who permit playing Baal and Shabbos will have to explain, how will they explain this Gemara? Right? As we came to this point, this is at the point we're at in this year. We said, try as one may to say that playing Baal is Osir and Shabbos. It's going to be hard. Right. But then we have a text that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu took out an entire town, and there's no indication that Tur Shimon was a Rishus HaRabim. That's what the Nagoyim claim, but there's no indication from the text. And how are we going to say this on the same level as prophets and decadence? So says the Rav Chaim Noah, what's the reason? So Rechloimar, you have to explain the interpretation of Yerushalmi in the Midrash Rabbah is Yisho also schok hakadr kivius the Shabbos Kodesh, because they made it a permanent and ongoing, a weekly pastime. They would waste the holy time of Shabbos, the opportunity of Shabbos. They would waste that the schok by playing games. Ki afilu amatirin. Even those who permit it, and I'm worried about Muktzah, not worried about Hitzah, that's where you go with. Ela Bakroi, they permitted it in a happenstance way, once in a while. She'ein Bekadar Yisrael Muktzah, there's no Muktzah. Avo Chalila, Lasos Mizek Kvius, Lotzi Zman HaKodesh V'schok Shal Dvorim B'Telem. But to spend the time of Shabbos in such a wasteful way, There's nothing which is more of which is cheapens and derides Shabbos more than this. So lo nitnu Shabbosos Yom Tov Yisrael elikedei lasuk ben b'Torah. What because Rachel gave us Shabbos Yom Tov to be more involved in learning. Shekol Yemos Achol Sunday through Friday. Tirudim Lachlan. We're working hard. Ulutichok Polim Uvalei Batim Daila Ma'onik Tzas B'Shabbos. The Mishpichim Lasuk B'Torah Harbe. And therefore, on Shabbos one should indulge a little bit in order to be able to spend more time learning. And then he says, and that's why the Kodesh Baruch Hu destroyed Beit HaRav, destroyed Tushima. HaZilzul HaTmini B'chol HaShabbos Aval Pishon Yechilu Also B'Melacha. That's what we call, again, it's about Zvorim Nokfin V'Yordin Adat Home. And this gives us, this is a piercing comment as to how important the sanctity of Shabbos is. That you can have a town that is so concerned about the poor and pulls out 300 loaves of bread every single Erev Shabbos, and nevertheless, this tremendous mitzvah sukkah did not save them, because, what did they do wrong? Because they didn't take advantage of an opportunity that Baruch Hu gave them. That's really what it is. Because Baruch Hu gives us a Shabbos and Yom Tov as an opportunity for learning, for Kedusha, for sanctity, for growth. If a person, if a community or individuals don't take advantage of this invitation to be more involved in Kedusha, so that's a problem. That's a severe problem. That means that the community is not gonna grow. Right? And that's what why the Tur Shimon was destroyed. Because if you have people on Shabbos, they're not using the opportunity, so where is this community going to grow? How are they going to move? So whether they spend their time in decadence, or whether they're wasting time on Shabbos, because Baruch Hu's eyes is our significant concern. So again, so the point that we're making, let's bring this, Malach Lamach, and take a few comments and insights and questions. That if we'll be talking about adults, and we use the term loosely now, if we're talking about adults, I don't mean 13 years old. I mean people who are have families already, people who are married, maybe, so even before they're married, the people are certainly, when they're at a point in time when they should be understanding this. So, you know, I would think certainly when kids are post-Eretz Yisrael, certainly when they're post-high school, I would want even in high school. But high school is probably a time when each kid, look at each kid on their own. But after that, for people who can understand the significance of Shabbos, to spend time playing ball, it's unacceptable. Can I say that it's also, well, if a person dresses down and doesn't wear Big Day Shabbos, yeah, not wearing Big Day Shabbos is also. Big Day Shabbos, you have to, all of Shabbos, a person should be baby, you have to sleep in the Big Day Shabbos. But in all of one's waking moments in Shabbos, when Shabbos is close, to be different. So when they loosen up at home a little bit, and they got the jacket, they got the tie, but Big Day Shabbos, the person dresses down into athletic clothes, that's certainly a violation of Big Day Shabbos, of Kovid Shabbos. Right? But then let's go a step further. Even if people are playing any kind of sport in a, that means that for an adult, there's better things to do. So whether it's learning, so you can say that not everybody's a learner. That's true. But nowadays there's such availability things to learn and things to study, so everybody, people may not be learners, but everybody has the ability to spend some time, and if it's not learning, to spend more time with his family. So there's so many useful things to do that the busyness of the week doesn't allow us to do, that if a person spends time Shabbos sports, I would think that is the words of Rav Chaim are a very strong censure against that. And again, if you're talking about kids in high school, I would certainly be very, very concerned. Certainly, again, to dress down and to wear sports items. So I think that's like making a kviyas out of this game. I think that's a big problem. I think that at some point during high school, some of the kids should realize what Rav Chaim Noah is talking about. That Shabbos is a time when they can be doing things which are of such much greater value. Exactly when that begins, that's a parenting decision. Exactly when one's child is ready for it, and when it would be counterproductive. Right? There are many, many kids who simply cannot be still a certain night, and who need a certain amount of activity in the course of a Shabbos afternoon, especially a long Shabbos afternoon. And so then we have to guide them in such a way that also is a little bit different. And that's the point that I would make with respect to young children. When it comes to young children, so the chinuch that we want is the, you know, what do we want to mechanech them? They're not the bar mitzvah. We have an obligation to give them the chinuch. So we can't, when we mechanech them, we are being mechanech them towards this idea of the totality of Shabbos. Right? So that's the issue. The issue is not caring, it's not muktzah. The issue is Chavit Shabbos and how to appreciate the opportunity of Shabbos. So that's why my suggestions are that when it comes to children playing on Shabbos, so I would feel strongly that they should have some kind of big day Shabbos. Right? So it doesn't mean that they should be playing ball in their suits and have to run, you know, disposable fancy suits every week they can kind of throw in suits. No, it doesn't make any sense. But it means that they should have big day Shabbos for playing. They should know that on Shabbos afternoon, their play clothes are not the same as what they run around during the week. And whether it's long pants or whatever it is, it shouldn't be jogging, probably shouldn't be shorts. It could be, again, depends on how old the child is. Younger children can have Shabbos shorts and they can look very... that's a parenting decision, each situation on their own, depending on the way children dress, the way the house works. But I think it makes sense to say that on Shabbos, the child should know when they change Shabbos afternoon, because they want to run a title, right, they change to something different. They have a set of clothes that look different. Maybe it could be the kind of clothes that they have to wear in yeshiva during the week. Some cheshbon that a parent makes. And then, I think that it has to be presented in the totality of the day. In other words, if the child wants to play in Shabbos, so to say that... to explain to the child, that's not, you can't spend hours, you can't, after lunch, after the meal, out and you're playing till mincha. No, I mean, first, there's a little bit of time for learning, there's time for quiet playing, for a risk game, for a board game, that's the time. And then, you understand that it's for children to, especially in a long Sunday, a long Shabbos afternoon, not be able to run around, that's very difficult. So we can't make Shabbos into a prison for them, we have to give them time to run around, so they should know this. Then they can run around, but it's all mu'uzan, in a balanced kind of a day. And then each kid on their own. Some kids will need an hour, 2 hours, whatever, playing. Some kids could use less, but they realize it's part of, and I would think also that as part of the idea of seeing Shabbos as being different, that we should encourage them not to do competitive sports, not to do full-fledged games. Although it's not a full-fledged baseball game, not a full-fledged basketball game, they can throw a ball around, they can throw baskets around, and so those are the guidelines that when I met with the children, those are the guidelines that I suggested. Number one, big day Shabbos, playing clothes, not to use equipment, of course, when you have to use equipment, obviously have to use, if they're throwing the ball, they have to use gloves, otherwise it's dangerous. They have to catch the gloves. Right, but it means not to get fully decked with goalie pants and have to do what's safe. And they should understand it's more ragua, it's quieter, it's not the full-fledged game, it's not competition, but be able to throw a ball around and throw some baskets around. So that's the way I would present it. Is there a concern? Many of you have a concern. It's called the slippery slope. That if we can take our children and say, absolutely no ball playing, alright? So then we know we're safe. Right? So then, And if we say, if we begin to allow a little bit of a leeway, so then we're nervous that Rahman al-Islam, we could walk down the streets of Bergenfield and every single driveway will be a basketball game, and that goes will be a basketball game, and then in every park will be a game. Obviously, there is a certain risk and requires ongoing vigilance from a communal perspective. But the alternative is also a risk. In other words, to tell a child, no ball playing. So if halacha would say no ball playing, that's not a risk. That's what halacha says. If the moon of his brother will take care of it. But halacha doesn't say that. So to impose something on a child when there are many, many children, it's not the majority of children, that will feel totally cooped up. And they will not look forward to Shabbos, and they'll be counting the hours for Shabbos to be over. That's not good either. That's not chinuch either. The kids are going to be counting how many hours they can still start running around. So that's why I think it's one of these balancing situations where our concerns are what are our goals? Our goal is to mechanech children to realize Shabbos is vastly the matter of the day. To realize that Shabbos is an opportunity when they would do things that they may not engage in the rest of the week. Quieter games, and there's a balanced day, and there's a time for spending time with the family. And the truth is, we all know in our own families that every child matures into the Shabbos table. Right? If you take a young child, and every child's different. And if you take a child and he's got to sit, he has to sit at the Shabbos table, no matter what's going on, they have to sit there. So then, they're going to have such a bad thing towards the Shabbos table. So we all make rules and close out a little bit. They make rules, they should be the Shabbos table, and when they run away a little bit, they say, Baruch Hashem, running away, because that means that they'll enjoy moving back for dessert. It will also be good. So it's the same kind of balance of year as well. But the goal, the chinuch, the goal of the year is to realize that the Shabbos is vastly different, and to remind them that there will be a time when they get older when they start to have different expectations. Right? The child has to realize, now they're 8, now they're 9, now they're 10. Even when the child's bar mitzvah, you have to make a decision. You've got to tell the child bar mitzvah that the next Shabbos can't budge on a Shabbos afternoon. It's not, depends each child on their own. And most children will not be able to sit for the entire, they won't have, they'll learn a little bit, they'll read a little bit, they'll play a little bit, they'll be, very, very anxious. But you explain to a child. But there is a time when we will expect that the Shabbos will be different. There won't be any ball playing at all in Shabbos. Right? That they'll, and that we have a different sort of program in mind for Shabbos. All right, a few questions then. You had before? Okay, good.
Why is there such a focus on necessarily ball playing? As opposed to, I remember when we were kids, we did other things, like, I don't know, race tag and other running around, letting loose kind of activities as...
I think it's all the same. In other words, the idea of trying to develop a Shabbos game, right? That's many neighbors have that. Chaim mentioned that Lewis had a Shabbos game. The kids developed a game that was different for Shabbos. That's a smart idea. You try to work that out. The kids know this is a game they play only in Shabbos. Right? So it's a game that's a little bit quieter, and so that would be a seichelic thing to do. Get the kids into it. I don't know, I'm not sure whether things have changed a little bit. We have to just get used to the fact things have changed. I don't know. I don't think the future generation was so much more focused on this than we are. I think we're more focused on this than the previous generation. Extra door in this matter. So, they get a vote from the youngest one. Go ahead.
So there's a game called Belt.
I played
a kid only on Shabbos, but it involves taking, anyone know, like twigs, and you, not twigs, like, but twigs are mussa, so can I exchange that for, from the snot? Like, if you put two sticks together and then you jump over it, no one else plays it besides me, and then you put them back, and then I'm taking myself out of them. But I played this kid only on Shabbos, but then...
You have to use something that was...
So then you just use like a belt. No, we use them, like, the new... But
then I'm thinking, does this twig not become, most of it's like used for like doing
this? Literally a twig?
They have to work it out.
You
I'm trying to use a game to try to get them to do something different.
Yeah. We talked before about adjusting the...
Why on the two-part? So
first, adjusting the basketball hoop.
Because you have to, I think, unscrew or pull up and down the lever. So
if the hoop is made such that it's easily moved up and down, on a per-game basis, or certainly on a daily basis, then you can do it in Shabbos as well. If it's something that has to be unscrewed, moved, and screwed again, so that and it's not the kind of thing which is done per game, and so then that'd be a problem.
I don't know.
But it's just
a timing, and it makes noise. And then I just wanted to know. I mean, I have this issue in the house behind me where 18, 15-year-old boys, many of them down here, play basketball from 2 o'clock Shabbat afternoon until a minute before bedtime.
That's a problem at many levels.
And it's very loud. And we spoke to the parents, we spoke to the principal, we spoke to another rabbi in the community, and you know, when I hear things like Kavod Shabbos, how to appreciate Shabbos, they rarely say Shabbos, but to me it looks like Mechalo Shabbos, screaming. It's like Geneva's Menucha Shabbos for us.
Oh, that's an issue many problems.
Do we speak to these boys, these people? It gets worse every Shabbos. So how do we deal with this? Because we're getting to the point where we don't enjoy Shabbos anymore.
That's certainly a problem. Probably Meshul Chai. There's no question about that. We'll talk about it.
Okay, thanks. Is there a difference between, let's say, baseball and basketball because of the gloves and dance? Should we say
basketball
instead of baseball?
Which has more equipment
involved?
Yeah, I mean, anything which has so much equipment, I think it's a good
idea. My brother used to, they had to play, what was it called? Flat ball? What do they call it, Debbie?
So there shouldn't be significant equipment.
Okay, and my last question was, in terms of the grip.
In terms of the hit a ball out with a bat, it depends on the context. It can't we say, it's not also.
Right.
Depends on the context. I get to have a full-fledged baseball game, I think it's wrong.
Right.
Because then you're not teaching the kids that Shabbos is different. If they hit balls out and kids catch it, so then the rules are there now. They'll do this once in a while during the week, and this is what they do in Shabbos, but it's a lost steam.
The grass. You said the soccer was on
my
3-4-year-old. They can't play
kicking
on ball.
So the Mishnah Berurah writes that we should not stop kids from running around in the grass because Mutav Shu showing how you can't stop them. So it's better not to say anything. Yeah. So then we don't. That's a good point. When it comes to chinuch for kids kicking a ball around the grass, so there we are. Mishnah Berurah to make or not to make an issue, not to say to stop them.
Is there a difference between kicking the ball on the grass, or like if you're playing baseball on the grass, or punch ball on the grass, and then they're just running around? Is that better, just running?
Yeah. Kicking is so more likely than sort of kick up there.
Just, this is a follow-up from my question, but I think the biggest challenge is not so much what we do in our homes, but the fact that our children live in a bigger world, and that not every family has the same standards that we have, and that the bigger challenge for us as parents is not so much we kind of have a sense, because we're here, that this is what's important to us. But I think the bigger challenge is probably what do we do with our children when their peers families in the different standards, and they therefore are desirous of doing what they're right. doing because it might be something that they would like to be doing. I think that that's a challenge for most, probably most people in this room, in a way, more so than saying, so, you know, they probably, we, I think we all have a push of what we have, we want them to behave on Shabbos, even if we don't necessarily have the forces behind it. And I think the bigger challenge is what do you, how do we handle the pressure they have, the desire they have from their, you know, the
others. Right, that's a common issue. Which
I think part of it is being addressed why you're making an issue for the community, which I appreciate, and why you're addressing it to the kids as a whole. I think that certainly helps the piece because then it makes it a communal decision that about values that we are for our community. And I think that that makes a big difference. But I still think that that's kind of more of a challenge for us.
That's what I met with the kids. And when I met with the kids, I didn't have the... much opposition.
How old were they?
They were
like his
more
close friends.
Didn't come.
Right.
Yeah, didn't come. Right. Yeah, they were the compliant ones. But that will mean, that's, we'll have to figure that creatively. How are we going to address that?
My issue.
But right. Again, it's my responsibility. I'm open to suggestions.
My issue is that someone else is... Let's say I have one standard and Meredith has another standard, let's just say, and then Ari will be someone who'll say, well, Mordechai was playing that, so it must be okay.
But so that, but that's part of the chinuch, so
but they look at it as someone, you know, whose father's a rabbi, whose father's this, well, if their father says okay, then it's certainly okay for me.
That's normal.
So it's okay next week, we could do that.
So part of our chinuch is always that we are always raising our children to say, that not everything which they say they will do
right.
is something we can, that's
right.
a broader thing.
Right. Right. That's a big challenge for us, and probably, I'm assuming that everybody right. in this room has the same yeah. challenge because that's, you know, but it's
right over here.
Right.
Right. Right, but I see something also that parents are sending their kids out to friends, and you think that they're doing something nice on Shabbos, mm-hmm. but you don't know, and I see these boys behind me, and do their parents know that they're having wild games for 6 hours?
That's part of the chinuch. I should know. I may not know my kids every single hour, but I should know my kids' basic seder yom. Right. So this afternoon, yeah.
The boy may be saying, "I'm going to so and so's house to learn," but he's really going to so and so's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The game gets too big.
I don't have kids that for completely different reasons, but I don't know how many, I have suggestions, I don't know that may work, but for all the people who are talking about, you know, baseball and they bring their gloves, there are balls that you can use that don't need them, and there are bats that you can use that you can use both of them, so you don't have to have the gloves. There are much softer balls that are not even handballs, they're real soft balls that are made specifically so that you can teach kids to do it without the gloves.
Right, but a 10-11 year old boy may
even
not.
That'll make a difference for Shabbos.
I play it with my college students, oh. so I know that they're balls that are heavy enough that it's not uh-huh. as big an issue, and you don't need to use the gloves.
That would make Shabbos different. That's very useful.
And they would only have to use it on Shabbos. In other words, this would be the way
to Shabbos. Shabbos.
You could market it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a market over here today. Even if everyone buys three, I'm not sure.
What happens when the game becomes too large?
Too large.
Like it starts up two boys and then the friend comes and we've had it where...
Well, I have that on my block. I mean, right. on Lee Place, it's a challenge because there are a lot of kids that leave complaints, except when there are 15 boys. In front of the house, I have to be like the mother that says, I've done it a number of times. They're not 15, 7, and 11. Okay. You know, they're not 5. I mean, that's another thing.
It's a very tough thing. You don't encourage your child not to...
No, you say, you redirect. You have to redirect sometimes. Like, you redirect their energies to find off and do two different things.
But
you don't want your children to be resentful of Shabbos. Resentful of what they can't do. It's a very challenging line to...
But I think the other approach would be to let the 15 kids play. But they have to understand that after an hour, it's time to do something else.
That's my
thought.
I was just thinking, like, you know, as women, we don't really relate, I think, to the sports like the men do. Because, you know, they play the baseball and the basketball, they have that much more of a desire to do it. And I think maybe if the men know that they have a role to play in terms of being role models and helping, you know, the boys to channel their energy, I think that they would probably be much more in touch with how to do that than we would.
We have the men. This is the this is part of the two or three.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And certainly, if there's a situation where there are adults playing sports in the public in Shabbos, then that makes it very, very difficult.
And what you do, I think,
Baruch Hashem, we're moving in the right direction, and because of the concern that we have, I don't think it's as...
The word is not religious, people won't get the answer.
No, I don't think if you walk around over here, I don't think you see full-fledged gangs. I walk around, I don't see it.
No, thank God.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No,
you don't see it. Right, so I think that's partially communicating the idea. So the thing's correct, and I think we're... in that moving that direction. Michelle?
I was just saying, I just want to reiterate, because I think you said kind of tied together three different comments there, and it kind of hit me is the need for, but maybe what we're really talking about is the need for supervision, because if we really know what the boys are doing, you know, if they have a playmate on the other side of town or something, and then another person said, well, she had all these children in front of her house, and so I think what we're talking about is the person on the other side, she has the children in front of her house, the other person doesn't know what their son's doing at that point, and while we all kind of agree on how to be doing this, the issue may be more of an enforcement kind of issue in terms of
probably make sense that if my child is spending every Shabbos that I take a walk, one of my Shabbos walks is to see what's going on.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense. That would make a lot of sense, sure.
I just want to go back to my own lines about parental supervision and what you were saying about the husband's taking, or whoever's playing with him taking an active role. I know like when my son is 7, so he's completely obsessed with sports. And my husband loves to play with him on Shabbos because it's the only time he, you know, has the whole day to play with him. But whenever they play baseball, you know, my son will get his glove. My husband always says to him, he doesn't use his glove on Shabbos. You know, just to enforce that and be a role model, and the adult who's playing with the child, they're supervising the game to do something different. But even if he's young, he's 7, so he can use his glove, but he knows that my husband doesn't use his glove, so obviously eventually he won't be able to either.
But I think the opposite is that I don't think it's a problem for an adult to throw a ball around with a kid either in Shabbos. Again, in a balanced day, the kid goes out to play and you want to throw a basketball with him, I think that can be a worthwhile thing in Shabbos, especially if the time that's spent together in the week is very, very limited. And then also a child gets that impression. He realizes that the father's coming out, the father rests a little bit, the father wins a little bit, the father then throws the ball around with him, and that gives a sense to the child that this is a different kind of balance than we would have during the rest of the week. All right, but in terms of the communal education, that's to my plate. I have to. I'm very open to suggestions that we can.
I think it's a good way to start. So just can have a parent and child learning resources.
Then.
The best way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Holiday weekend.